Guatemala has become an epicenter of violence in Central America. Violence against women in particular has hit record levels. According to the United Nations, nearly 45% of Guatemalan women have suffered some kind of violence in their lifetime.
Violence against women and gender-based violence is one of the biggest problems of our country.
Even Guatemala's top law enforcer, Attorney General Claudia Paz, admits most crimes against women go unpunished.
The justice system hasn't given violence cases the importance they deserve. And with violence against women, the problem is even worse. We live in a culture of sexist behavior, and violence against women is either not seen or women are considered somehow responsible, somehow guilty.
Can you imagine living in a country where if you're a woman, you have no voice? If your baby is stolen and trafficked, the police look the other way. If you're beaten or raped, there is no one to turn to. I could be talking about any one of several underdeveloped countries, but the clip I just played was a PBS TV report about Guatemala in Central America. Guatemala has a long history of human rights abuses against women, but there is some hope for the future, and Ireland is playing a part in this. Last month, Derek spoke to TV's Lorraine Keane about her upcoming trip to Guatemala with the charity Trocara, and Lorraine promised that when she got there, she would call us to tell us about what she's seeing. And true to her word, Lorraine is on the line from Guatemala in Central America. Good afternoon, Lorraine.
Good afternoon, Marty.
Where exactly are you?
Well, we are in an indigenous area of Guatemala, which means a very, very remote rural area in the highlands. And in these areas, you have a huge part of the population. But because it's so remote, you can imagine access to facilities or anything really is very difficult for these people. And I suppose that's why it's an area that Trocara works in, because they know that they can actually bring facilities to these people. Just to give you a bit of a background of Guatemala, 2% of the population own 70% of the productive land here, so it's an extremely unequal society. You know, when we arrived in the city on Sunday night, I mean, it's kind of like any Central American kind of city. You can imagine it's quite developed and built up, and it's not until you actually drive out, you know, less than kind of 2-3 hours out of the city that you become in kind of very, very remote situations, and that's where we are now.
And what have you done since you arrived there?
My goodness, the first day that we arrived, we met this incredible, remarkable woman called Norma Cruz. Norma gives her services voluntary to protect and support the women here who have virtually no rights. And the reason why Norma got involved is because her own daughter was raped at the age of 8. And when she tried to get help from the police and try and get justice for her perpetrator, she was practically ignored. There was absolutely no assistance given to her. And she realized then herself firsthand, I suppose, of the struggle that many Guatemalan women are going through on a daily basis. So she set up an office actually from her own home for a couple of years. And then Trocara, the donations that Irish people very generally give to Trocara, were then used to provide her with a proper office space. So we visited Norma there and she talked us through some of the horrific stories. And the women, you know, that have suffered in the last 7 years that she's been running the office. She calls it the Foundation of Survivors. And what she can do then is give them legal assistance and emotional support, but also provide them with a refuge and a shelter, kind of like a safe house if their situation is particularly bad, you know, if their lives are in danger. And actually on that day, it was quite unnerving because we got access to that shelter, to that safe house. And obviously it's a secret location because women that are there, their lives are threatened. And we had to be blindfolded. We were put into a van and we were blindfolded. Yeah, for a half an hour. For the journey to the safe house, and because nobody can know where this place is, and then obviously because if we knew, then the lives of the women and the children in that safe house would be in danger, and our lives would be too.
That must have been pretty scary, Lorraine, to be blindfolded.
It was, but I knew I was in safe hands, and I, you know, had read about Norma and had spoken to her at length before we left. And it just makes you realise, Marty, you know, no matter how scary it was for me, what those women must go through to arrive at Norma's office in the first place and the situations that they're in. with their little children, and then to be blindfolded themselves. You know, they have to be blindfolded because they're not allowed to know the location of the shelter either, and the children. You know, so it just made me realise on that journey what they must be going through, you know, because they're in hiding from, a lot of the time, you know, their husbands or people, men in the community, that have, you know, are trying to kill them. And she was telling us about various different stories. And it would just, I mean, break your heart when you see the photographs of what these women have suffered. You know, there was one woman, Mindy, and it's so horrible even to describe. Her husband had, she was 19 years of age, and she was been violently beaten by him on a daily basis. And she tried to leave him and told him she was going to leave. So with machete, he basically just took all her, the features off her face.
My God.
And when she reported it to the police, they turned a blind eye. In fact, Norma showed us the report, and the report read, mild injuries, nothing serious. So when she arrived at Norma's offices, Norma obviously took her under her wing and brought her and her children to the safe house. And she fought in the courts to get justice for Mindy. And a couple of months ago, he was given 40 years in prison.
My word. And Mindy was only 19.
Mindy was only 19, yeah.
My God. And you met a woman whose baby was sold.
Olga, yes. It's another thing that, unfortunately, is something that Guatemalan women have to almost, you know, expect at this stage. They have to try and protect their babies on a daily basis, because 30,000 babies have been stolen for illegal adoption.
How many babies, Lorraine?
30,000 in the last 10 years.
30,000 babies stolen?
Yes, for illegal adoption and sexual exploitation. So that's an average of 3,000 babies a year.
Wow.
And Olga's story is one of those. And her little girl was taken 4 years ago. And again, she tried to get the police and the authorities here to listen to her, and they wouldn't. So she went on hunger strike. And it was because she went on hunger strike that Norma Cruz heard about her. And then Norma took her in, and actually Norma went on hunger strike with her to get even more attention, and it got a lot of media attention here. And they have now been trying to find Olga's little girl. And the one good thing about the situation here in Guatemala, no child actually goes through the airport to leave Guatemala without being photographed first. So they actually have a photograph. She was taken from Olga on the 27th of September, and on the 3rd of December, she there's a photograph of her leaving Guatemala. So what they do is they take these babies to, they call them a fattening house. So they take them to a house where, you know, they will look after them and, you know, make sure that they desperately, you know, look nice and pretty, whatever, and well fed. And that's then after they're shipped out to these families that are waiting for them.
It's really hard to imagine, Lorraine, that 3,000 babies a year are kidnapped for adoption, like in that story, and for sex trafficking as well. Is it all down to the lack of human rights for women that this isn't being tackled properly by the authorities?
Yeah, and I suppose they've come through, you know, a 36-year civil war, and although they signed a peace accord in 1996, because of that conflict, you know, the whole country is still very unstable. And yes, because of that, women have virtually no rights. And yet, you know, when you look globally at the role that women have to play, I mean, it's so important that we give women a voice, and, you know, we give them their independence, because we have seen across the globe, you know, how the woman, the mother in a family, is hugely important, not only to the family, but to the community and to society in general.
The irony, of course, is that babies in Guatemala are really revered. These babies are really wanted by their mothers.
They are, yes, because, it's, you know, here the sacrament of marriage, even though it's a predominantly Catholic country, is not something that, you know, wouldn't be like other Catholic countries. You know, for them, women feel it's kind of a necessity that they have a child to kind of complete their womanhood, you know. So babies generally wouldn't be handed over, you know, they wouldn't be given away. They're revered and worshipped and, you know, a huge part of family life over here. So that's why that figure is so alarming, you know, and is unbelievable.
And Lorraine, what kind of people are there? I mean, what kind of atmosphere is there in the country?
They're very, very reserved kind of people. You know, they're beautiful, they're very kind and very warm. But I suppose after 36 years of civil war and the pain and suffering that they've gone through, there's a terrible sadness here, Marty. You know, you can feel that from them. And that, for me, was kind of my, even coming into Guatemala City, that's kind of the feeling you get. But then when you go out into the rural parts, into these indigenous areas, I mean, it's incredible how they're kind of surviving and how they go about their day-to-day business.
And it's obviously what you're doing and Troc are doing is all about providing sustainable aid that enables people to help themselves.
It does, but that's the thing, and that's what I love about Trocra's work. And this is my fourth year to work with Trocra and visit various projects around the world on their behalf. For me, you see, I wanted to see it firsthand, Marty, because I'm just, you know, I am Joe Bloggs. I am the person that has donated to Trocra and various other charities during the year for years. And I wanted to see for myself where that money was being spent. And it's great for me to see that and to know and to come back and to be able to tell the Irish people who donate or might be thinking of donating that, yes, your money is making a difference. Yeah. I've seen it reach the right people and I've seen it save lives. And that's hugely important for me, you know.
Yeah, it's important indeed. You're representing all of us, so it's good to get that positive feedback. We'll end on a positive note, Lorraine, because
yes.
Cuba is said to have music in every corner. But what do Guatemalans do for fun and entertainment?
Well, you know, that's the thing I said about the conflict, you know, that has left very kind of strong sadness behind. But they have these in every little village and town. They have these squares, you know, where the community gathers. And that's lovely to see that at night where everybody comes together, you know, people of all ages, from, you know, the smallest child to the oldest grandparent. We haven't been doing much socialising ourselves now, I have to be honest.
Well, imagine, not with what you've just
described.
There's been
little time for that. But today we're going to visit a very positive project, and it's the Weaving Looms. And again, it's another gift of change provided by Trocra just before Christmas. So people can go out, if they go online, in fact, they can www.trocra.org/gifts, and they can buy these wonderful gifts, everything from €5 to €200. But one of the gifts is these weaving looms. And when Storm Stan hit Guatemala, this hurricane in 2005, of course, it wiped out entire populations, and lives were lost and homes were lost, and methods of earning a living were lost. So they introduced these weaving looms, and what it did was it provided the women with their traditional dress, which is obviously their culture and it's very important for them, but it also gave them their independence back, really, and gave them a skill and a means to earn a living. So we're visiting those projects that have been operating under Trocra funding for the last 7 years.
Lorraine Keane, coming to us from Guatemala. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Margie.